Glad you could make it. So you are all here this early in the morning for unified messaging. It's more than just voicemail for Link. Real quickly, I just want to say that this session, we're going to go through features. I'm going to give you kind of what the features are that you may or may not have seen before. We'll go into a little bit of sizing. We'll go into a little bit of performance and what those using those features may entail. But the real deep dive, if you really want to get in deep on deploying it, you can either use our hands-on labs. I believe we do have one lab in there that will go through the whole deployment of UM. And then Paul Robichaud, his session was yesterday. And he goes through a deep dive. You can check that out on the website. It's probably up by now, I think. Or it will be up later, I believe. So just to kind of throw that out there real quick. Are you sure you're awake? Good, you'll go to sleep now. No, I'm kidding. So I am, real quickly, I'm Jake Yappas. I am a premier field engineer at Microsoft. I specialize in both Exchange and Link and unified messaging is really my specialty. I am based out of the frigid, cold, snowy Twin Cities of Minneapolis, Minnesota. Twin Cities of St. Paul and Minneapolis, Minnesota, originally, though I hail from just outside of Green Bay, Wisconsin, which is really tough sometimes to live in Minnesota. And yeah, that craziness you see in the corner there, that's me in a previous life, where I used to beat up good friends of mine in a ring. And yeah, that's me. I'm the one that's actually hitting with the chair. So remember that when you're doing your evals, by the way, because that's what I was doing to someone who didn't give me a good eval or didn't do their eval. So just remember that, okay? Just remember that. Remember that, I should say. Wham! Yeah! So you could tell by my size, right, that I was a wrestler. Known in the South as wrestlers. So enough of that nonsense. Like I said, this isn't a deep dive session. Check out Paul's session. It was really good yesterday. How many of you guys saw Paul's session? All right, well, I'm going to be down here. So you got the really good deep dive with Paul. These are the features. I think he talked about most of these features. But you'll get to kind of the features and maybe a little bit of the planning around it, things like that. I'm just being nice to you guys because you're in Vegas, and I know you guys were all doing this last night. So I know most of you were doing it last night. So I'm trying to be nice to you guys this morning. So yeah. So like I said, my agenda for today is we're going to talk about, I got a little video for you guys to see. Kind of goes over all of Unified Communications and how you could use it, things like that. It's actually really old. We'll go through the features, do a couple demos, hope they work. if you've seen some of the other sessions, some have worked, some haven't. We'll talk about, you know, when you're ready to deploy, these are some things to think about, a little bit about architecture and topology, sample topologies, and then sizing and performance considerations, and you can barrage me with all the questions you want. How many of you guys have UM currently deployed? How many are thinking about deploying it? Wait, that'd be like one person, right? Since everybody raised their hand. How many are on-prem, completely on-prem? And O365? And you'll be disappointed. okay, so that pretty much covers everybody, okay. So a lot of this you probably either use, you've seen, or are trying to figure out how to use. So here's this video I'd like to show you real quick. It's old. It actually came out of our OCS 2007 Voice Ignite materials. You may have seen it if you took that class way back in the day. If anything, you know, really, it's the only video I can find that really brings out all of the features of unified communications, especially Outlook Voice Access. Okay, and it's sort of funny, bad music, typical Microsoft video. So if anything, just laugh at the use of Windows Mobile 6 and the really creepy boss lady. Oops, wrong mouse. Cool.
Catherine Berger's office. No, she isn't. Yes, I will certainly let her know that you called.
I've never seen this. Anybody? Okay. But you were, yeah, you probably were my last session, weren't you? You're not gonna learn anything new.
Raul, don't tell me. Oh no. She's here.
I miss those moments. I really do. Only had to read them three times for one day.
Jared, she's moved up the meeting.
All right, everyone, cool heads. Conference room in 5 minutes.
Yeah, you saw she moved up the spring issue review?
Emily, it was supposed to be Thursday.
Can I do anything?
Please set up the call and wish us luck.
Good luck.
Is it really so difficult to design a cover that doesn't offend every fundamental standard of fashion sensibility? The Manolos for tomorrow's fitting need to be picked up, and you can inform Philip. I will not approve the trouser spread. The photos look absolutely depressing. Cancel my reservation at La Halle and instead book for 6 at Sapa. Richard is holding 4 boxes of the new Hermes silks, and he's expecting you within the hour. Is the design team ready to review the spring issue?
I've posted a layout and these new collections to a SharePoint.
Make sure you archive the conference and I'll be ready for more Starbucks soon. Is it asking too much to have you return while it's still hot? And Emily? That's all.
HR violation.
Hello, Catherine.
People, our spring issue cover is just not wonderful yet. These are the collection samples from Kors, Ferretti, and Wang. Arguably the most important bellwether of developing trends. What do we see in common here?
Red?
Brilliant, yes. Red. And yet we have categorically neglected this detail in each and every mock-up of the cover. Now, please share with me your brilliant ideas on how we might salvage this layout.
Welcome. You're connected to Microsoft Exchange.
Calendar for today.
Opening today's calendar, you have a meeting from 1 to 2.
I am running 10 minutes late.
All right. I've sent a message to all attendees.
Directory.
Opening the directory.
Wardrobe.
Calling the office.
Hello, Amy.
Hey, Freddie. I saw that the core samples arrived today. Anything in a 4?
All zeros and 2s, sweetie. Wait. Here's a 4.
Be a dear and have it sent up to my desk?
Only because I love you. Ciao.
Ci vediamo dopo, moi.
She's fallen asleep in the sun, just woke up, completely red.
I must say I would never truly appreciate the unexceptional aesthetic of that layout if I weren't looking right at it. I will remind you that a million girls would die to have any one of your jobs. That's all. Emily, where is my coffee?
Wardrobe has the Manolos and scarves for tomorrow's fitting. Philip is reshooting the trouser spread. You'll have proofs by 9 a.m. Oh, and you're confirmed at Sapa for 6 people at 9 o'clock. And here's your coffee. Be careful, Catherine. It's hot.
Oh, Emily? That's all.
Creepy. I don't even know what to say. So there you get an idea of Outlook Voice Access, how she was manipulating your calendar, you know, doing different things with that. Like I said, old, but kind of gives you an idea. If this was made in 2014, you know, she'd have been driving. Yeah. So here you have it, the voicemail. The poor, abused, neglected, cursed at, sometimes almost always ignored, voicemail. That doesn't seem to want to flicker work. Come on. Okay, so Thomas Edison, he patented it. The phone operators in the early 1900s were the first to use it. It gained a little more popularity in the 1970s with the advent of the beeper. And then as time went on, we also had the old school tape recorders that never seemed to have enough tape, or they'd fail when you just got back from that vacation or something like that, when you actually needed a voicemail. And then, you know, it evolved into the PBX world and then into the enterprise. And now with Link, obviously, are in exchange, the voicemail's on the desktop now, where we still avoid it, abuse it, you know, ignore it, things like that. And we use that poor, innocent voicemail for just about everything. Data collection systems, announcement systems, caller avoidance systems. Yeah, tell me you don't use it for that. That's all I use it for, honestly. Avoiding calls. Nope, not taking that one. So, yeah, you all use it for that. So, I mean, really, though, what's the big deal? It's just a voice message, right? No, not in 2014. This is Microsoft, man. And I need better music. I need some crash or something when that happens. So, I mean, come on, we're Microsoft, all right? We got to put a twist on everything. We don't stay old school for a whole lot, for very long. I mean, we took away your beloved start menu. We rename things on a daily basis just because we feel like it. You know, I mean, you know how we work, right? So what we decided to do is just throw a whole bunch of features into it that make it really cool, hopefully. We have Outlook voice access. So again, like you saw in the video, she can manipulate her calendars. You can listen to email. You can respond to email. You can, like I said, move your calendar around, those kind of things, all with your voice. Auto attendance. So you can automate those call flows. You can set up interactive voice menus like you do with response groups or whatever else you're using right now with your other PBXs. You know, set it up for different times of the day, things like that, different attendance. Really, you could really do some really neat stuff with that, especially when we get into languages. Like, there we go, languages. So speaking of languages, this clicker is being difficult this morning. Multiple languages, so we support multiple languages, 26 in all. We'll talk about those later. And you can do, you can actually speak either your customers or your users' languages all over the world. And discovery search, just like in Exchange, we can search emails. If you have it integrated with Link archiving, you can search IAMs, conference materials. You can also search voicemails. Once you have voicemail preview turned on, those transcribed voicemails can now be searched by your legal teams or whoever does your pulling your emails out of mailboxes using the same tools. We have personal voice attendants, also known as find me, follow me, those kind of things. Users actually can create their own customizable voice interactive menus. And they don't have to come bother you to get them created. They can do it themselves via OWA in Exchange 2013. I remember that question. And finally, protected voicemails. So you can protect those voicemails just like you protect documents, just like you protect emails. If you have issues like we do with leaking email or voicemails outside of your organization, you can use protected voicemail along with rights management services and Outlook protection rules and those kind of things to protect voicemails. Okay? So let's look at Outlook voice access first. So we have Outlook voice access. So it's about as traditional as you're going to get with Exchange, with voicemail. You know it as subscriber access, maybe voicemail access, those kind of things. But of course, us being Microsoft, we got to put a twist on every little thing. So with Outlook voice access, you can increase your user productivity. It's early this morning, I'm sorry. You can listen to email, voicemail, manipulate that calendar all with a call. This is great when you're driving now in 2014, you know, in this day of aging, this day of texting and driving is bad, and eating and driving is bad, and checking email and driving and all that stuff, and looking, God forbid, looking at the radio and driving. This could be a solution you could give your users to show that at least you're trying to get them to stop checking and email and things like that while they're driving, especially if you have mobile crews that's their job is to drive. So it's a really good thing to provide your users. Like, and you saw that in the video where she was able to walk down the street with coffees in her hand and be able to manipulate and tell people, hey, I'm going to be 5 minutes late. And then it tells the rest of the meeting participants, hey, I'm going to be late. So again, it's a really, really cool thing you can use for that. Like I said, here's an example. I'm going to be 5 minutes late. Here's an example of something somebody could hear on an email. Email from another PFE that I work with to me, hey, are we going to that secret Microsoft party? You guys all knew about that party, right? Yeah. So, you guys want to see it, right? All right, let's take a look at it. Let's flip it over here. All right, so we have... There we go. All right, so we just have a standard link client here. So let's go ahead and call. I'm going to use this to for the microphone piece. You should be able to hear the email or the voicemail. So we're going to go ahead and just call, check our voicemail via link.
Have no new voice messages and one new I didn't catch that.
Sorry.
Please say voicemail, email, calendar, personal contacts, directory, or personal options.
Email.
December 11th, is that right?
Email.
Sure, please say yes or no. Opening calendar for December 11th. You have
Karen
no appointment December
like my
11th. You can say next day or main menu.
Let's try this again. All right, let's try that again.
You have no new voice messages and one new email message. Please say voicemail, email. I didn't catch that. Please say voicemail, email, calendar, personal contacts, directory, or personal options.
Email.
Opening your mailbox.
Thank you.
First, an unread message from Holly Holt, titled Contoso Scripts. Arrived Thursday.
Hi, Katie. I left you a voicemail regarding those scripts. Do you have them?
It's the text-to-speech voice.
Thanks. Holly.
You get the picture. You can at least listen. You can at least triage and say
enough message. You can say play, next, delete message,
reply
all, mark as unread, main menu, or more options.
Delete.
Message deleted.
I just triaged my
undelete
mailbox.
By saying restore message now.
So, can you imagine driving
a message
like,
from
Mindy
God,
at Microsoft.com.
Can you imagine
titled,
just driving
thank
you know,
you,
down
nice
your car
lady.
Going, delete
arrived
that one, delete that
December
one. When you get to the office,
7th.
You can just manage the emails you want to manage.
Electronic mail, commonly called email or email, is
it's
a method of exchanging
email.
Digital messages.
So, all right. So, I mentioned that Outlook Voice Access also has multiple language support. So we also have here to joining us today is Nuno. I think that's how we say his name. He's out of our Mexico City office. Now, I can't understand a word of this, but let's go ahead and have him check his voicemail. Oops.
Bienvenido a la configuración de Outlook Voice Access, donde los nuevos usuarios pueden configurar su correo de voz. Ahora, por favor, grabe su nombre y su saludo personalizado. Su nombre grabado con su propia voz ayuda a quien llama a identificar su buzón. Diga su nombre y apellido. Si otras personas en su organización tienen su mismo nombre,
them having to figure out English. So, pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
All right. Let's move on. Pretty cool, right?
Yeah.
Wake up. Come on. I know it's Vegas. So, but like I said, you get the idea. All right. So, like I said, you also get auto attendance. And it's the same thing applies. You can apply different languages to your auto attendance as well. Let's go into that. So auto attendance. So with auto attendance, you can customize those calls. Instead of them always going to a secretary or a receptionist, you can actually automate that, give your users interactive menus. You can customize them based on time of day, the holidays, so you don't have to make any changes. When it's a holiday, based on the calendar or whatever calendar you use, it can actually flip over to the Christmas one or whatever. You can use our text-to-speech engine that's built in, like you just heard, if that's suitable enough for you, or you can actually record your own voice prompts for each one of the menu items or whatever you want to announce. You can also use auto-attendance to call out as well. Press 3 for our sales team, which might be somewhere else, And Exchange will actually make the call out for you and route the call. I shouldn't say route the call, but forward the call out through whatever your PBX is, link, or whatever it is, to wherever it needs to go, the same as anything else. So here we have an example of Welcome to Tailspin Toys. For sales, press or say 1. For support, press or say support. Here's an example of a Christmas announcement. Sorry, it's, and they, in, I know some places they used to have to go and say, well, hold on, I gotta forward our calls to the after hours attendant, which essentially is the same thing. But you can do this automatically. Whatever, when, as soon as it hits that time, flips over to the auto attendant. Could you say a little louder? You can. There is a way to do that. There is a way to actually, there is a menu option to just go ahead and read a message, which is the next option here. You can actually just do an announcement only, where it'll say, like in our case, we see this a lot in Minnesota, because we always get, you know, 10,000 feet of snow, like we're getting today. Thank you for calling. Due to the inclement weather, we'll be closing our Redmond offices. Thanks. Click. Or you could say, for more assistance, you could press this or whatever. You know, and it'll forward the call. Otherwise, you could just hang up. I think the default is have it loop and then play 5 times and hang up. But there's different ways you can do it. You could use this for that, or you could also use personal attendance as well for that. Same thing. So it just depends how you want to do it. So those are auto attendance. So the next part is multiple languages, how you can tie it all together. And if you have a multinational organization, you could have different auto attendants. You could even start out, you have to do it custom, but you could start out with a auto attendant for English press 1, for Spanish press 2, and that goes into another tree. And then you can do more advanced call trees from there, or you can even forward it on to a response group tree if you wanted to from there. I'm gonna try and hold questions until the end because we have to use the microphone for the recording. So unless it's real quick. They're typically applied to the dial plan, yes. He was asking if the dial plans can be used in multiple dial plans, or the auto attendant can be used in multiple dial plans. Typically it's 1 dial plan, yes. Mostly because of the language piece. So with that, with multiple languages, you can speak your customer's languages or your user's languages, whatever might apply. You can use customizable greetings and menus. You can do text-to-speech again, or you can create your own menus as well. The thing is, though, you can only use 1 language, and if you're using the voice recognition piece, it won't. If you call and its default language is French, and you start speaking Spanish, it won't have a clue what you're doing. Even if you have Spanish installed, but it's not applied to that auto attendant, it's going to go, "What? I'm looking for uno, not un." So, 26 languages in all. We keep adding more as CUs come out, so if your language isn't there, ask a lot, greasy wheel, squeaky wheel gets the grease, that kind of thing. But more is coming if you need more. Here's an example of one in Spanish, you know, same ones as in the last slide, actually. Welcome to Tailspin Toys, press 1 for this, press 2 for that. Here's a holiday announcement in French. And here's another announcement only in Klingon. Before Jamie runs in here and neutralizes you all and says, we don't support Klingon. Klingon's not one of the supported languages. Although it's in Bing Translate, which is where I got that from. So it'd be cool, though. I don't know who would use Klingon, though. That'd be kind of weird. Actually, really geeky place, I think. I don't know. But that's neat. That's actually real Klingon. Apparently, this is a full language. I'm not a Star Trek guy, but that could be bad. So. Multiple languages. So from multiple languages, then, we talked about earlier about discovery search, which seems to be a hot topic these days with all the legal stuff. If you have one of those organizations that has more lawyers than IT staff, or if you have stricter regulations than the Nevada State Athletic Commission, when it comes to boxing or UFC fights, you ever seen that, how strict they are? It's insane. So with discovery search, you can actually meet your compliance regulations and apply it to voicemail as well. the same stuff you're doing with email, because communications is communications, right? So if it's a voicemail, it still counts. It's an official communication, depending on the law you have to follow. But you can search those voicemails the same way you'd search emails, using Discovery Search and OWA. And you don't have to give them, you know, crazy exchange or rights to do this. Same way you do it. You can discover, you can use in place hold, extract transcribed voicemails. Remember, these apply to transcribed voicemails using voicemail preview. Okay, so if you're afraid of turning voicemail preview on and you turn it off, you won't be able to search for voicemails very easily because we don't look into the audio piece of it. We look at the transcribed email. Yes, if it's quick. Okay, cool. Just because I want to get them on the recording here so that everybody can enjoy at home on the interwebs. So for example, here is a nicely written one, probably better than you'll ever see transcribed. I'm Alex, blah, 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 I'm looking for. So now in this case, you could go into Discovery Search and you could probably do a search for all communications for Alex Darrow. Or you could do a keyword search on project proposal for Tailspin Toys. Or the time or the date or from this person. Just as you would any other voicemails or any other communications, as long as you're sending them all to Exchange, obviously. So we're searching on this case on Sarah Davis. So with that, we have personal voice attendants. These are my favorite. I use these a lot. So personal voice. So it's call answering rules is how Paul called them yesterday. They're call answering rules in Exchange. I believe we have some documentation that calls them personal voice attendants. We have a million different names. I think it's going to change again, probably. Knowing us, it probably will. But users can create their own custom menus to find them, to follow them, wherever they go. And you can even, so just think of them as user customizable personal auto attendants. They can use their own voice, or again, they can use the text-to-speech engine to manipulate callers where they want them to be. You can direct those callers based on free busy status, their work shifts, anything that's in Exchange, really. Called number, so if you're getting you want specific, let's say, customers. Sometimes there's customers that, I just can't do anything more for you. You got to go to Premier Support. I'm sorry. I'll take those numbers and I'll just automatically say, press 1 for Premier Support or leave me a voicemail. Those kind of things. But and you can do it by calling number, things like that. So, and we'll do it, and I'll show you that here in a little bit. But let me zoom in here and show you kind of what I'm talking about. So here we have, as you can see here, my status is purple, which means I'm out of the office in my calendar. And automatically it will give me a menu that says, you've reached Jake Appas, PFE at Microsoft. I am currently out of the office. Cannot take your call. Press 1 for Premier Support. Press 2 to connect to my manager, which he would not like that. Or press 3 to leave a voicemail. And let's see here. Here's another example of, in this case, I'm just in a meeting. So I'm not out of the office the whole day. I'm just in a meeting. Now, what's neat is I can go in and I can actually, if I'm busy, give them this menu and say, it means I'm here. Maybe I want to be interrupted for certain calls in this meeting with my manager. Maybe I want something else to happen. Go to my assistant first, maybe. Depends on your situation. But here in this case, I'm just in a meeting, an hour meeting with my manager down in the dungeon, getting my normal daily beating. And it's going to go straight to voicemail. Or I'll give him a different menu. I put my manager and just beats me all the time. That was really out of my calendar. Yeah. So, and then finally in this case, no, he doesn't beat me. I'm kidding. Bob, if you're listening, I love you. here's another case where a certain caller is calling me. In this case, customer is calling me. Hi, you've reached me at Microsoft Premier Support. I'm currently on a call, but if you have a severe CVA case, please press 1 to go straight to the on-call engineer. Or press 2 to leave me a voicemail. And that goes just for that customer. Or maybe a bunch of them in a group, maybe. Just depends. You can define multiple contacts if you want. So there's literally 100 different possibilities. You could use it for an informational announcement if you want to do a quick, create a simple mailbox and create a quick personal voice attendant with just an announcement on it. You could easily do that. So there's multiple ways to do that.
Did you say this was only with
Yes, it is. It is only with Exchange 2013. So if you have 2010 or 2007, you'll need to upgrade to give them this full capability. There is ways to do it from the admin side to create them, but you would have to create them for the user. We do. It's basically just call routing rules is really what it is. So go ahead. I believe a piece of it is, yes. So, I don't do a whole lot of Office 365 because I work with military and government, and if any of you are in military or government customer, you know how that is working. So I just say it's down here. Yeah, let me get back there. So cool. Personal voice tenants, you think you're going to use, you can see a use for those, your users, you think they would like those? I mean, like I said, I use them all the time, and I love them. Only because I'm never around my phone, honestly. My phone's off, actually, right now. So, of course you want to see it, right? All right. Just for you guys. All right, so we are back. Let's go to our other client here. So here we are in Office Web App. We're logged in as Katie Jordan, again. And you can see, and sorry if it's not completely visible, but you can see I already have a few rules. She has a few rules set up already. She's got one that's specifically for this Nuno guy. He might be a little shady. We don't know. She might be sick of his calls. We've got a menu here for Katie is free. We've got one for when she's busy and when she's on vacation. Well, let's just look at the vacation one real quick here. So here you can see over here on the right, or that is right, yeah. For you guys, left, right. You can see here that Katie is on vacation after the call arrives, and my automatic replies are turned on. So if her OOF is turned on, play this message or this menu specifically. And she doesn't have to change anything. It just automatically goes. And you can layer these up and down. See specify which one fires first over the others. Just depends on status and situations. Press pound for a voice message. Notice I have to say link help desk, LINK. That is not a typo. It's text to speech, so it sees certain words and just spells them out, which is kind of annoying, and you'll hear it. But you got to sometimes manipulate system. You can create your own custom ones and say, "Hi, I'm Katie. Leave a message for the link help desk." That's how you get around that. But in my case, I did this. Or press 2 to be transferred to my assistant admin, who's Spencer Lowe. And it will automatically transfer the call. In this case, when she is, let's say when she's free, you can see all this. When the call arrives, schedules, and she's free per her calendar, provide them with these options. So we have pound to just leave a voice message. Or she's available but roaming around the building. And I'm free, so come find me. I'm probably either here or here. So it's actually going to ring, and let me open this so you can see it. So actually, I'll do a find me here. So you can see here, I can actually specify for, I'm in the building somewhere, I'm probably at either my desk or my boss's desk, or maybe I'm in the help desk, or maybe I'm here. Call this number for 20 seconds. Call this number for 20 seconds. Just come find me. It's kind of like a team call thing in Link as well, where just ring a bunch of numbers until you find me. I might be here. There. Oh, you could even put your cell phone in there, maybe if you still have a beeper, although who has a beaper in this? But some people do. I don't know. You never know. So you can do a lot of different things with that. And again, you're giving the power to your users so they can do their own thing. And you can do other things that are way more important, like restore mailboxes. and here you can see when I have one set up based on, So based on a specific caller, this Nuno guy, apparently she wants, given the option of calling the HR department or her lawyer. So something's going on there. So let's go ahead and give her a call. Actually, I probably won't need to talk, so let's leave this on mute. Yeah. So let's go ahead and we'll leave Nuno alone for a minute. So as you can see, let's go back and look at Katie's status. So Katie right now is at the voice conference. She's here somewhere. I'm not sure where. Where's Katie? So she's here in my session right now, so she's busy. So we should get the busy menu when we call. So Nuno here is going to make her to his daily call. Oops. it's obviously ringing here, so I will ignore that because I ignore
you have reached the mailbox of Katie Jordan. For my assistant,
press 1 to be transferred to
Spencer Lowe.
For
the LYNC help desk,
press 2 to be transferred to
Link help desk.
See,
to leave a voice message, press the pound key.
Text-to-speech may not always be the best option, but it is there. So you can see he got the busy menu. Let's go ahead and enable, because she's just tired of him calling. If we look at the missed calls, I bet you there's about 100. No reason at all. Let's go ahead and save that. Notice that Nuno's rule is on the top. So even though she's busy or she's on vacation, that rule is going to fire. And it'll probably fire anyway because it's specific to Nuno. And he's the only one I have set up. So let's go ahead and give her a call again because she didn't answer and I think she's really at her desk. Let's go here. Ignore him again.
You have reached the mailbox of
Katie Jordan
for
HR department.
Press 1 for
my lawyer.
Okay, I get
press
the point.
Press 2.
And so on. I hit 1, it'll go straight to the HR department, and they'll be like, why are you calling Katie again? So you can see the uses, though, for this. All right. To make this a 300-level session, I have to show you some PowerShell. So here's the obligatory PowerShell. If you want to look at some, if a user says, my rules just aren't firing, I don't understand why, and you don't feel like walking to a desk or trying to log into her OAuth, you can actually do a get UM call answering rule, specify the mailbox. You can even look at all of them if you really want to, but that's a big ugly mess in PowerShell. But here for this example, we're going to look at Katie's rules. And I'll scroll up here. Sorry for the scroll, but you'll see her first one in her list. Callers can interrupt the greeting. Check automatic replies. So that's checking to see if her OOF is turned on. Key mappings that may be set up. So she's got 1 for HR department, 2 for my lawyer. Here's the extension here, 1006. What's the name of that rule? Nuno? Well, I guess I must have did something. And here are the options. Oh, you misspelled something, or this extension doesn't exist, so you can help them troubleshoot where they may have gone wrong without leaving your desk. Same thing here. You can also see it's been changed recently or not. Same thing here. For her vacation menu, and so on. PowerShell. You should be able to, yes, but you still can only set them within PowerShell. It's still not as customizable as it is in 2013, yes. So that is, if you want to see another one, we can actually put her into, we'll save this. Let's go ahead and change Katie. Let's turn on her OOF message. Stop. Come back here. Let's try that again. There we go. One of them days. Let's go ahead and just turn on her OOF. She's at my session today. Yay. Glad somebody is. And let's see here. And so right now she has her OOF on. And come on, EWS, kick in. Tell me the OOF. There we go. And let's go back to Nuno, and he's going to call her again. This guy just needs to get a hint. Ignore.
You have reached the mailbox of
Katie Jordan
for
Link Help Desk.
Press 1 to be transferred to
Link
Help
Desk for my assistant.
Press 2 to be transferred to
Spencer Lowe.
To leave a voice message, press the pound key.
So hopefully that gives you an idea of just some of the things you can do with it. Okay? All right. Let's flip back here. Where's my clicker? There it is. Okay. So that was personal voice attendance, my favorite part of this whole thing. And then the last thing here for the features is protected voicemail. So with this, you can actually, this might be the icing on the cake right here. So if you have rights management services already in your organization, or if you're using IRM, Outlook Protection Rules, DLP, if you're on 2013, you can apply a lot of those things to your voicemail as well. You know, we're a company that is always worried about leaks and things like that, even though stuff gets out anyway. But we use this a lot. We should use it even more than we do. But protected voicemails, we protect them from being forwarded. We can protect them from being just cut and paste copied, the text piece. We can protect, like I said, from forwarded, copied, sent, reply. Sometimes in cases of reply all, you can actually prevent that. Or just being sent to certain people you don't want to get it. Okay, like you have ethical walls set up between some organizations. You can prevent, you can't let the legal department send things to the marketing department or whatever. Like I said, utilizes the built-in Active Directory rights management services, Outlook protection rules, data loss, IRM, data loss protection rules that you already may be using already. So for example, here's an example. We have a voicemail, okay? And the bandit over in Cube 322, well, wait, not that bandit. Although he's a lot cooler. Not that bandit. This bandit. Ah, this guy. So he's over in the other cube, and he has a voicemail full of juicy information that could hurt your company. And he wants to forward that voicemail out to his friends. Could be them. I never did trust that Chandler guy. He's a little flaky. It could be him, though. But he wants to forward it out to his friends, but you being the really smart and knowledgeable, great Exchange admin or UM admin or Link admin, nah, you've created rules. You protect your voicemail to not allow that message to be forwarded outside of your organization. And thus, the bandit has been foiled again. Pretty cool. Let's save the questions because I don't think they're getting on the thing. So let's just save it until afterwards. So yeah, I suppose you want to see that too. All right. This one's real quick. So here we have a voicemail that was already left. Here we go. So here's an actual voicemail from Katie to Holly. So I'll actually play it.
Hi, Holly. This is Katie Jordan. I was calling about the scripts you wrote for the Woodgrove Bank project. I would like to use them for the Contosa project that we're bidding on. Can you call me back as soon as you can? Thanks.
As you can see, thanks to policy tips, it already says here that I cannot forward. Do not forward. Recipients can read this message, but they can't forward, copy, print, forward, print, or copy content. And that the conversation holder. So it tells you right off the bat, hey, you can't do anything with this. Sorry. And here's the owner, which is really a rights management admin address, actually. We can also force the user to play the message on the phone. In these cases where you have a speakerphone, you don't want others to hear voicemails, things like that, you can force them to pick up the phone and listen to it privately or on the headset if you're using a softphone link. But as you can see here, I cannot forward. I also, if I want to print, I can't print this either. I also, well, if it was this message didn't transcribe because I'm running about 6 gig of RAM and as you know, we'll talk about voicemail preview. If it doesn't have enough CPU to do it, it will just quit and go on. So we won't suck up all the CPU if we need to do other things. So it didn't. But if there were transcribed text here, I wouldn't be able to copy and paste it. So that's pretty much it for protected voicemail. You can actually, I'll show you real quick where you can actually modify that. Whoops, wrong spot. I was doing something else earlier. So it's part of the dial plan. So let's go into the Redmond dial plan in this case. It's actually part of the Redmond dial plan default policy in this case. And under protected voicemail, I have it set to all protect all voicemail messages from authenticated callers and unauthenticated callers. Unauthenticated callers are ones that call from outside your organization that Exchange can't authenticate. They don't have a mailbox on your system. So you can choose which ones you want. You can require play on phone, and you can allow voicemail responses to certain things. If whatever device they're using doesn't support RMS or they're outside of the organization, let's say, it will tell you, sorry, you cannot access the license to hear this message. Or you can give another whatever you want message in there as well. contact this for this, whatever. That's the simple way of doing it. If you want to go deeper into it, you can deploy our RMS and go even deeper with it, where you can say, people in this organization can listen to voicemails from this organization, but not this, you know, this department or whatever. You can go even deeper with that. But this is just the simple way. Cool? Pretty valuable stuff, especially in this day and age. So, I already did the demo. I probably should just watch the scene. Probably should just watch Smokey and the Bandit. Probably been more interesting anyway. So, you're looking at all this stuff and you're ready to go, right? You're ready to just, most of you already said you already have it. So, you're ready to just turn everything on. A lot of you may have already gone through this now that you have it deployed. But these are some things you want to think about before you dive headfirst into the plastic kiddie pool. So the architecture, real quick, let's talk about that. You may already be familiar with this if you're running Exchange 2013. Are all of you on Exchange 2013, or some of you still on 2010? How many are on 2010? How many are on 2007? How many are on 2003? Trick question. Why is that a trick question? See how smart you are. Is there a UM on Exchange 2003? Okay. Just checking.
Unity.
What's that?
Cisco Unity.
Oh, ho, ho, ho. Security. That's a bad word here. And in most cases, Cisco would just, we're not going there right now. So, first thing first, all calls are front-ended by CAS servers. In Exchange 2013, we now have two roles. The CAS, the Client Access Server, which acts as a smart, dumb proxy. That's both smart and dumb. And it proxies proxies most traffic except for UM traffic. So what you want to do is you point your SIP trunks or link to a CAS server or to the CAS load balanced FQDN. You will not point it to your mailbox servers. They'll go, whoa, why are you here? Okay? Unified messaging, the role, is now a service on the mailbox server. You can no longer break out the UM service on its own, onto its own server. It is part of the mailbox role server, part of the mailbox server. Okay, and if you consolidate your servers like we're now recommending, it's all on one server, and you can't take it off. You can't uninstall it. It's there. Even if you're not using it, it's there. You can disable it, but you got to do some things to do that as well. So the Unified Messaging Call Router Service, which is sort of new, it was there in 2010, but it had a little bit different role. That runs on the CAS, then redirects the call to the mailbox server. Okay. Here's kind of a logical view of what it looks like. You may have seen this in other slides. We rip these off often. You can see here normal Outlook or Exchange traffic, Outlook Voice App, Outlook, EAC, those kind of things, PowerShell. Those all still use the same old school. They go through a load balancer into client access. Then from there, we proxy the traffic into their specific mailbox server. Unified messaging, however, is a little different. We'll do the SIP traffic first to the CAS role. I have these separated because, just to make it easier, it could all be on the same server. We recommend that, actually. And then we will actually redirect the call and say, nope, okay, thanks for connecting. I know where your mailbox is, but I'm going to redirect you to your mailbox or a mailbox server if it's an auto attendant, to the UM service on the back end role. And that's where your media, your initial signaling, your secondary signaling, and your media then will start going straight to the mailbox service itself, mailbox role itself. Not too incredibly difficult, just a little different. Topologies. So this is a simple IP PBX topology. This could be Link. This could be any others that support direct SIP. Here you see we have, I can't use the pointer. So here you'll see we have a little bit of, we have your PBX here. So again, it could be Link, it could be anything. With a direct SIP trunk to the CAS. And I have these split out for simplicity's sake. You have the CAS here, which then sends a redirect back to the SIP gateway, which then obviously goes back to the caller. And then it's redirected back to the UM service with the mailbox that's holding the mailbox role. External clients are going to connect the same way to the CAS. Except if they're Link, obviously, you're going to be doing Edge or something like that. This is really referring to like OWA, things like that. But your media then will go straight from the mailbox role back to the gateway probably, or your front ends, and then to the caller, or media bypass may kick in as well there. If you have a legacy PBX or something that doesn't support direct SIP, you have to put a gateway in the middle, same as if you would if you were trying to put Link and another PBX together in a coexistence scenario. Same deal. EIP gateway in between. We have a SIP trunk between the gateway. Obviously, you're going to have an analog or some other type of connection between your PBX. Could be SIP, could be digital, could be something. To the gateway, SIP trunk will still send the 302 redirect back to the gateway, which then redirects the media to the mailbox rule. It's kind of the same thing as in 2010, but we just didn't have it as defined in 2010. We still did the same things. We still redirected you to another port on the server to another, the umservice.exe, but kind of the same thing. But I did want to point out the two different roles in 2013, how it's different from 2010. Okay? Voicemail preview. How many of you turned it off? Okay. 2010, or 2013, I'm sorry, it is on by default. Transcription is going to be attempted to be performed on all messages that come in. And actually, with managed availability now, we will actually look and see, well, if there's not enough CPU, just forget it. I need this CPU for other things. I got more important things like email to do. So, but just know that when you enable it, or you enable UM, its transcription is performed on all messages. Voicemail preview uses automatic speech recognition to convert the spoken voicemail into text. Now, if your default dial plan is set to English and somebody starts speaking Spanish, it won't have a clue on how to decipher that, to decode that. Voicemail preview now is a little bit more accurate than it was in 2010. Obviously, it's not perfect, but still better than Google Voice. But it is now accurate. We've actually added some more algorithms to try to do better. The predictive stuff you heard at the keynote, that's getting more play into UM as we go along. You're going to see more of that. We try to predict what you're going to say. I believe yesterday in Paul's session, he talked about the predictive piece of this. With that, though, with voicemail preview, though, if you don't have it now, you may want to consider it because you can triage those messages quickly. I use it because I'm always checking my voicemails on my cell phone. I'm looking at it going, okay, this is the blah, 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 blah. That's a sales guy. I don't care. Or it's a recruiter or something. Whatever. I don't want to take the time to have to listen to the voice message. Although in Outlook, you'll get both options. You can actually listen to the voice message, or you can read it. And then you can also get the option of submitting it back to the server to better translate that in the future if you see some issues. If you turn on voicemail preview, you'll get the option of being able to contextually search for that voicemail message in exchange search, in discovery search. So that gives you that functionality if you need that as part of your organization, your compliance rules. So we have, like I said, we have contextual actions, text previews. Things to think about, though, before you deploy, especially with voicemail preview, I already said UM's automatically installed on the mailbox and CAS rule in 2013. This will impact your storage, your bandwidth, and the resources that you if you're just now planning Exchange 2013, this is going to impact how you're going to plan your storage, your bandwidth, your CPU usage, your memory. All those things you're planning right now using the Exchange planning tool or the planning calculators, this will impact what you're putting in there, and we'll talk about that next. voicemail preview. It uses 100% of one CPU core for 60 seconds. It's pretty heavy. It needs to really work on that. It's gonna use up the entire core. Sometimes you'll see maybe it'll only use 75% on some small ones. It just depends, but the normal common guidance is we're gonna use 100% of that thing if we need to. Okay, so that's gonna affect how many CPUs you apply to your mailbox rolls. And that's just for a 30-second email. If there's a minute or voicemail. If it's a minute long, 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 4 minutes, expect that CPU to be in use. So you're really going to want to pull some stats on average call length, voicemail length, how many calls you get per day, things like that. You really want to think about that before you start just turning it on and then wonder why Exchange is just creeping along and you going into back pressure, things like that. Average voicemail size, we figure, is right around 100K. It may be different in your organizations. And that's using the 30-second average voicemail with the MP3 codec. If you use GSM, Waves, they can be much larger. And it may change how you distribute users. You may not put them all, you know, where you think you're going to put them, because if those users are heavy, heavy voicemail users, or if that's where your auto attendants lie and you're a heavy auto attendant user, you may think, no, I want to put those on another mailbox server or another, maybe another DAG cluster somewhere else. It all depends, but it will affect on how you distribute those users. Voicemail preview again. It's only available, so we do have 26 languages that are available for Exchange to use, but voicemail preview can only transcribe in about 6 languages. So English, U.S. English, obviously, Canadian English, which is also Minnesotan, French-Canadian. There's actually a story behind that. We actually couldn't use that. It was completely usable in some of our studies. French-Canadian was absolutely unusable. So I think it's the combination of the Cajun with the French, and yeah, I've been to Montreal. I can really understand them. Italian, Polish from Poland, Portuguese out of Portugal, and Spanish from Spain. Mexico is on the cusp of being included at some point. So I think there's just some dialects that need to be fleshed out, but more added as we flesh them out and get them working a little bit better. I know it's not supported, but I've seen some customers attempt to create their own. So the APIs are open, so you can create your own languages. We don't support that, but I've seen them try it. It's on you if you'd like to try. So when you're planning all this, the Exchange calculator will just figure this all out for you, right? Right? It'll just figure it all out. It's all in there. Don't worry. You'll be all fine, right? You've seen it, right? Exchange calculator. Any UM stuff in there? Any link archiving stuff in there? No. UCS stuff, anything in there? Nope. There's nothing in there. So you're going to have to take what you put in the calculator first. Plan out what your daily email needs, your quotas, all those things, how many mailbox servers, how many data centers you're going to have, all that stuff. And then you have to plan UM on top of that using our 2010 guidance. That hasn't changed. There's some talk of a calculator coming soon, but don't hold your breath because that's my project. So, we do know that that's missing, and we are aware. But when you're planning UM, you want to take some data from your current voicemail system and start planning it out and putting those numbers on top of it. So if you know that the average user gets 5 voicemails a day, and they're average about this size, 100 KB, do the math, and plan that on top of whatever the calculator says per mailbox. You should get some fairly close numbers. And CPU, just double it. Plan if you're using, obviously, voicemail preview, you want to add some buffer for voicemail preview to do its thing. There's a reason why those, if you saw the requirements for 2013, how high they are for a mailbox role, things like this, like a minimum of, 32 gig, I believe it is. There's reasons for that. Quad core, 6 or 6 cores. There's a reason. It's because of these kind of things. So yeah, the calculator won't figure it out for you. Sorry. Other things, I talked about the language packs. These are all 26 of those language packs. Find your favorite language in there. If it's not, like I said, I've seen some make their own. Or scream at someone in the product group. You could get it. With language packs, now I've seen this before. And in Office Online, we actually do this. This is the Office Online thing, or the Exchange Online piece you'll hear. Each language pack consumes resources. Okay, we have to load those into RAM, that kind of thing. They take space up on the disk, things like that. So don't install more than you need. If you know that there is nobody in your organization that needs Mandarin Chinese, don't bother installing it. You might be nice for that one person, but really, it's just going to add, you want to plan accordingly. And if you do need more than one, plan for it. And you think about a little bit more RAM, a little bit more storage, a couple more IOPS. The more that you install, this will impact your GAL and OAP generation times, because we have to create a new grammar file and new GAL for each language so that they can read it and they can listen to it. So we have to create all those grammar files. That gets done at night at 1 a.m. and goes through. If there's not enough time to complete those because you have 18 languages installed, and plus you have backups running and things like that running at the same time or other things, you may not get that, and users can't use their languages because there isn't a grammar file. You'll still use English, and then they'll scream at you. There's only one default language per dial plan. So the reason you have to have multiple dial plans for multiple languages, one default language. Now, you can go in after the fact and change the default language for an auto attendant after the fact. You can change that if you want to have multiple menus, things like that. Users can select their installed language in OWA, so they can actually read OWA in their native language once you install the language pack. Okay? And English cannot be uninstalled. You will break the mailbox rule if you try to uninstall it. Okay? So you cannot, because basically it breaks OWA and everything, all the menus, if you try to uninstall English. So I don't know if anybody would here, but in other countries they may try to do that. Okay? So there you have it. You put all these together, Outlook Voice Access, auto attendance, multiple language, discovery search, personal voice attendance, protected voicemail, voicemail preview. You get all this together, you truly will get unified messaging. It's finally unified together. Everything is in your mailbox. With that, that's all I have for you. If you have any questions, please step up to the mic and have a great last day of the conference. Go take a nap. Thank you.